It wasn't a person. You know it wasn't a person.
Skate!
Beautiful fajitas and spicy frijoles.
Oh, it is so on.
It's Columbo! You enjoyed the last sort of cinema episode that had to do with a TV show? Well, I'll be strapped in and ready for this one, because it's Columbo! We're doing another Columbo episode! I'm so grateful to be here back on the show. I just want to say thank you so much to Dalton and Ryan and...
Oh, no.
Sorry.
It's all the cigars.
I've been smoking too many cigars lately. You know, the thing about cigars...
No, here we fucking go.
People think that they're illegal if they come from Cuba. Or at least they did back in my time. But you see, they're not. It's only if they're made in a specific Cuban... Are you familiar...
Columbo would be exhausted to talk to.
Are you familiar with Bordeaux wine? Or tequila?
I am.
You know how you can only make that in certain regions? You can only make tequila in the region of Tequila, Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
You can only make Bordeaux in the Bordeaux region. Well, newsflash. You can only make Cuban cigars in Cuba.
Wow.
But you can make other kind of cigars that are also in Cuba that aren't technically Cuban cigars that anyone can have access to, especially me. Columbo.
Welcome to Talking Cigars. My guest today is Columbo.
Columbo! Oh my God. It's me!
Oh, welcome to Sword of Cinema.
Welcome to Sword of Cinema. This week we are doing an episode of ER.
We are not doing an episode of ER.
We're doing an episode of Columbo.
No, we're not doing an episode of Columbo.
We're doing an episode
of CSI.
Of CSI? Doing an episode of CSI?
We are doing an episode of CSI
Miami.
And this is the original CSI.
No.
CSI Crime Scene Investigation.
I just show up to these things.
You just show up.
I don't know anything about what we're doing.
I sit you down and I say, hey, just grab this paper and follow my lead.
Thank God I have you here.
This is an episode that aired May 19, 2005.
Jeez.
It is an episode that we're doing because it was directed by Quentin Tarantino.
Mm-hmm. So, if you listened to our last... What was the last
it
one?
Was that- well, the Columbo was the
but it, was that movie. Directed... Oh, yeah. It was directed by Steven Spielberg. So, that was kind of the rule that we put on, is if we're going to do an episode of TV, it's got to be directed... By a
filmmaker. Yeah. This was written and directed by Quentin Tarantino. Mm-hmm. I, as someone who enjoys Quentin Tarantino movies, did not see a lot of things in this where I was like, oh, that's Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
Except for like a handful of moments where I was like, oh, that's Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, we'll call those our Tarantino times.
Yeah, Tarantino
times. This is a Tarantino time.
Yes.
Most of it. Well, actually, I mean, kind of the whole plot of it, it's a Tarantino time, but the way that that plot kind of plays out...
Very CSI time.
Yeah, very CSI times.
Yeah. Have you watched any episode of CSI before this?
I mean, it's probably one of those things that was playing on the TV when I was younger or whatever, but I've never...
I believe it's still on.
Really?
I think.
I've never seen any episodes. I could kind of guess. You kind of guess what CSI is?
If you've seen one, you've seen them all.
CSI stands for Crime Scene Investigation.
That's correct.
I'm correct on that.
You are correct on that.
Crime Scene Investigation has to do with a team of crime scene investigators.
Well, that's where you're wrong, my friend.
No, what?
No, it's entirely what it is.
So it's a bunch of crime scene investigators, and they go, it's a serial crime drama,
yeah.
Where they go episode to episode investigating different crimes, but mm-hmm. from more of a forensics aspect, more of a
with
laboratory
fun, like science. Pseudoscience, yeah. Of like blood splatter. I mean, I think that most people at least know what CSI is. If mm-hmm. you've not seen an episode of CSI, you're not necessarily missing out.
Also, to call blood splatter pseudoscience, it's a shame. That is pure unadulterated physics.
Is it not? Are bunk you... science?
No.
Blood splatter's real
because
I remember I watched The Jinx and there was blood splatter evidence and the court threw it out because it was like not necessarily true.
Really?
I think it's like up there with like there's a lot of things that we consider like, oh, that's science, like ballistics and stuff, that like some of it's true, but a lot of it's kind of bunk. Like fingerprints are actually maybe possibly in that category now.
Well, because I wanted to like defend it and I want to be like, no, you don't know anything. Like I've seen Dexter. Okay. I know, like
based on the way that blood spatter evidence is depicted in movies and TV, it seems like it's something that someone could just walk up to a scene of a crime and pretty much determine at what angle the person was shot at,
caliber,
how far away they were,
yep,
all of that information just based on the splatters on the wall.
Well, I'll tell you what.
But that's pseudoscience. It's all
fake. I don't know.
It's all fake news.
I'm not sure if it's
fake. Well, no, that's what you're saying. You heard it here first, folks.
This is what we're going to do. This is a two-parter. On the second episode, in between, I'm going to look up and I'm going to find out.
Okay.
If that's actually pseudoscience or not. Because CSI is filled with little bullshit things like they're the ones that invented the... Can you take that image and enhance it? Enhance. It's like webcam footage, and they enhance it. It's the most clear, crystal clear footage of like a license plate you've ever seen. They do a lot of bullshit in this.
Yeah.
And I feel like blood splatter might be in there. Yeah. It's at least not how they portray it.
I am not an expert on anything, so I won't try to...
I'm an expert. I'm an expert. I work for CSI. I'm Ted Danson. Ted Danson's not in this one.
Yeah, it was weird because we're watching this on Hulu, and the little icon that like meant, you know, this is what we didn't even say, season 5, episode 24.
24 and 25.
24 and 25, which is just insane to think about because now that everything comes out on Netflix.
It's like 10 episodes.
Yeah, at the most. Yeah. But, you know, episode 24 and 25. And the little icon that gave you the preview of what the episode is had a picture of Ted Danson looking at some kind of crime scene investigation table.
I know.
As if he's crime scene investigating.
Because I know he's in the show later, I think.
Well, Hulu needs to get their act together.
They do, because when you tease me with Ted Danson and you don't give me Ted Danson, I'm pissed.
I'm pissed. I was waiting for him to show up.
There's no Ted Danson. No. I had to go watch an episode of Becker after this just to get my Ted Danson fix.
I don't recognize any of the actors in this, too.
If you're a fan of CSI, you're like, these are the people. You know, but otherwise, I think that, I don't know that they've done much.
It's kind of like Grey's Anatomy, like when I watch, except for Sandra Oh is pretty famous.
Yes, she's in a lot of things.
And the guy who plays Derek Shepherd is pretty famous.
I don't know Grey's enough to know who that is.
The guy with the fucking nose and the face.
Is it?
Is the white guy.
Is he steamy or dreamy?
He's one of the dreams, or one of the steams.
You're not sure which one?
No, he's not the ginger one that's in
Euphoria. I don't know
Euphoria.
I always hear about
So you don't even know either.
No, but if you said one of them, I'd be like, oh, that guy. I don't know.
We're getting totally off track.
Bring Cotto in here.
Yeah. Eventually... You know, maybe we'll do an episode of Grey's Anatomy. I don't know if any of them were directed by film directors.
We'll come up with other stupid reasons.
Yeah, we'll come up with stupid rules.
We'll come up with some stupid rule.
We'll come up with sort of rules.
Sort of rules so that we can watch the things we actually want to watch. And this week we want to watch an episode of CSI, Crime Scene Investigation.
And like we mentioned, this is a two-parter. Each episode is about 45 minutes. We're going to try and stretch them as much as we can so that you can get a full hour-long podcast experience.
Yes, yes. Not like when people tease you with Ted Danson and then don't deliver. We will deliver a at least somewhat normal length episode. Might be 10 minutes long.
So we open Crime Scene Investigation. I'm not going to call it CSI.
Call it Crime Scene. You're insane.
So the popular television serialized crime drama, Crime Scene Investigation.
I hate that. The name of the show is CSI. Crime Scene Investigation.
Well, that's like calling an ATM machine.
It's redundant. We don't need that. Or, I know what CSI is.
What's it called? The kind of tea that Indian people drink. What's it called? Chai. It's like saying chai tea.
Is chai?
Chai is the word for tea.
I didn't even know that.
Mm-hmm.
We call it tea tea?
Mm-hmm.
The fuck is wrong with us?
I don't know. It was a joke in the new Spider-Man movie, in the animated one.
I don't know. The second one?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see that
one. The first one.
I did see that one and I forgot.
When they go to Mumbai and there's the Indian Spider-Man.
Oh.
And then, normal Spider-Man, or not normal, because I guess they're both normal. CSI, Crime Scene Investigation. So, the original Crime Scene Investigation television show.
Yes.
Is set in Las Vegas, California.
Yes. Yes, it is. There's also
Las Vegas, California.
Las Vegas, California.
You just breezed right over that.
I didn't clock.
You didn't give a shit.
I'm still thinking about chai tea.
Okay.
You've got me all stressed.
Well,
you've got
to find some way to reset.
We need to do a hard reset. Okay. CSI. No Ted Danson. Takes place in Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, Nevada.
Nevada. Not the famous Las Vegas, California.
There's no chai tea in this one.
There's no chai tea. There might be. We don't see it.
There's no ATM machines, but there is CSI, Crime Scene Investigation.
Yes.
This show takes place in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yes.
And,
we open to our old boy, who is supposed to be our old boy, but he's not our old boy yet. He's not our old boy.
But for five seasons, he was somebody's old boy.
Somebody's old boy. Nick Stokes. In the car, and he's jamming out to some of his favorite Vegas music.
Vegas music.
It was Christmas in Las Vegas when the locals take the town. Teresa hit a streak.
Sorry, we got a Teresa.
I love Teresas.
She was playing penny poker over at the Golden Spike. Tired of Texas Hold'em, she switched to Let It Ride.
See, I know this one.
Oh yeah, you
know. I didn't just put on the subtitles so that I could sing along.
No,
I know this one.
It's your favorite song. You constantly are singing this song. Yeah, he's in his car. He's cruising off to a crime scene.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know much about this crime scene, but when he gets there, he finds a little perfectly placed pile of intestines. Yes. There's no body.
Mm-mm.
There's nothing else going on. It's just a pile of intestines in the middle of a parking lot, and there's a cop there.
I guess there was a call from somebody that there was body parts found in this area.
Yeah.
And there's only one, I guess, beat cop who responds. Well, Stokes is the CSI guy who shows up to help provide some kind of CSI crime scene investigation information.
That's right.
And he gets briefed on the scene.
Yes.
What's going on out here?
Well, anonymous 911 caller reported body parts in this area. I rolled and found this.
Cut to giant pile of intestines.
Tasty.
He says tasty.
Yeah.
It looks like kielbasa.
Yeah, it does. Maybe it would be good. I don't know. Maybe I'll try it.
He said tasty. I think we're all thinking the same thing. That looks like sausage.
Yeah. It probably is sausage.
It might
Knowing
be sausage.
The prop department, they probably just put sausage in it.
It's probably sausage. It looks great.
It looks great. I would totally take it.
I would try it. I find it odd that only one cop shows up to a pile of intestines in a parking lot in Las Vegas, but we're just going to roll with that.
There's a weird moment here where when Nick shows up, he's like, oh, the whole department is very busy tonight.
Yeah.
The whole crime scene lab is it's a very busy night. I'm the only one who could show up. You know, there's people, you know, cheating on the machines over at Mandalay Bay.
Exactly.
I think that's a little bit more important than the intestine pile.
It's like you'd think that, you know, intestine pile might take precedence. If I called the cops at home and said, hey, I found a pile of intestines in my driveway, I feel like more than one cop would show up, no matter how busy. I would hope so as well.
That maybe they could, like, put some other stuff aside so that they could come.
Yeah.
So Nick is investigating this scene. He's taking pictures. I guess he's not allowed to move the intestines until the coroner arrives. And as we've learned, the coroner's very busy tonight.
They're very busy.
It's got other intestines to deal with.
So many intestines.
The cop that was there on the scene, he's like, hey, do you mind if I just step away for a second? I need to get some air. He goes and starts throwing up.
He throws up right at where he gets into his car. Like, I would have gone somewhere else. But
he might be tampering with the evidence a little bit by throwing up basically right next to it.
Yeah, he vomits on his car. he vomits on his car. Nick offers him some bubble gum.
Yeah.
The bubble gum, it does come back.
Yeah, like, he has bubble gum with him. He likes to carry bubble gum. I'm just going to mention it. It might be important
maybe,
later.
I don't know.
So this cop, he disappears to go throw up. It's just Nick there. He's looking for evidence. He finds a styrofoam cup. It's in an evidence bag.
Yes.
Which is weird because he's the cop.
And he has not put it into evidence.
He's not the one that did that. It wasn't the other cop. So there's something already in an evidence bag, even though there hasn't been any evidence gathered. Very weird. Styrofoam cup.
He's looking at this evidence bag with the styrofoam cup, and he's like, that's kind of strange. And then from behind him, a man just puts a cloth over his face and just kind of knocks him out.
Yeah, it cuts away. We don't know what happens.
We don't know who that was. We don't know.
We do know that our new old boy, Nick Stokes,
is
kind of in danger.
Yeah, our new old boy's knocked out cold.
About 25 minutes later.
Not about. It says 25 minutes later.
The other cops arrive to the scene. I guess the cop that was there that went to go throw up realizes Nick is gone, calls in for some backup. The rest of the crime scene investigation lab shows up to offer some support.
Yes.
Think! Did you see anybody else in the area?
I didn't see anything, sir. I mean, I only took my eyes off him for a couple seconds.
You're not supposed to take your eyes off him. Ever.
He's been gone maybe 25 minutes.
25 minutes.
So he was supposed
Don't you ever take your eyes off of him. I don't care if he's going to the bathroom. I don't care if he's making love to his wife. I don't care if he's giving birth. Don't take your eyes off of him.
Especially watching that case. That's a science miracle. Yeah, apparently he was like in charge of like he looked just a guy that discovered the intestines, but apparently he's actually also in charge of keeping tabs on the CSI.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
So we're going to be talking about a lot of different characters in the show because normally during a movie, we can be like, oh yeah, this person just got brought up and they never come back. But this is, I mean, we're already 5 seasons in. Yeah. So there's a lot of characters that have established histories. We're just going to try and like loosely guess.
If you know CSI, then you know who these characters are.
Mm-hmm. And we'll mention some characters by name, especially definitely towards the beginning. But as they become less and less important, we're just going to start calling them the group of CSI investigators.
Yes.
But now now that we're at the beginning, we can mention some names. So you just heard Conrad. He's the assistant director of Crime Lab, and he questions the cop that's there. He's like, why did you take your eyes off him? That was that guy. We also see Grissom and Catherine. I don't know if those are first names or last names, but those are the
Grissom's
names.
His last name. Catherine's her first name.
They're searching the scene. Conrad, the assistant director, tells them that the crime lab only has one case tonight.
Yeah.
Which we learned earlier that they have multiple cases. So we kind of guessed that the reason why he says that is because it is so important that we've lost one of our own that this is the only case that we see tonight.
Yeah, I think his words verbatim were, as far as I'm concerned, we got one case tonight. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're going to find their boy, Nick.
They're looking around, Grissom and Catherine. They find his stab vest, Nick's stab vest mm-hmm. that he was wearing. They find a camera that he was using to photograph the evidence. They also find some white fibers on the vest. Catherine notes that they smell of alcohol.
Yes.
Which is really weird because she's holding the very slimmest little piece of fiber. It's surprising she's able to smell
she's
it.
She's a super smeller.
Well, that's why she's invited on the team.
Exactly.
That's why we like Catherine.
Yeah.
Over the course of these 5 seasons, we've seen Catherine sniff out some crazy shit.
Dude, there's 5 seasons of her just smelling things.
Remember that one time she found that bundle of lavender in that guy's couch?
Mm-hmm.
That was my favorite episode.
That was season 3, episode 5, I think.
5 or 6.
Yeah.
I think it happened at the end of 5, and then that was the opening for 6.
You're right. You're right. It was the cliffhanger.
So much fun pretending like we've seen it at all.
Yeah, they find his vest, they find his camera, they find white fibers that smell like alcohol. They're putting it together that something happened to Nick. And they also find that little bag, the evidence bag, mm-hmm. that has the styrofoam cup in it that he was looking at when he got kidnapped.
Weird.
It is weird. And they look at it and they're like, oh, this bag
doesn't match the bags we use.
These aren't our evidence bags. It's a different colored label. It doesn't have any initials on it that mm-hmm. would normally be on there. It doesn't have any case number.
Mm-hmm.
What is this bag?
So then we cut to back in time. Do they say 2 months ago or anything like that? Or do we just kind of assume that it's back in time?
It's back. It cuts to a crime being committed. Mm-hmm. We don't know when that crime was committed. I assume it could be years ago. But it's showing two blonde women back to back. Their heads are back to back.
And they're like in this like kind of weird workshop thing.
Yeah.
You know, where you see a guy, he gets a bullet and puts the bullet into a vise
mm-hmm.
and then gets an X-Acto knife and scores the top of the bullet. It's this like little clandestine workshop where he's doing things and capturing people. The women are screaming. They're terrified.
Yeah. For a second, they're screaming and then they both get their heads simultaneously. I'm having a problem.
Hi, my name's Simultony.
Simultaneously.
And there's many of me, all happening at once.
They get their heads blown off, and then it cuts to the crime lab. This scene is taking place the night before the actual kidnapping of Nick.
Mm-hmm. So as far as timeline goes, we have this double homicide that happened in the very past.
Mm-hmm.
We have the scene that we're about to see. And then we have the next day where our boy Nick gets kidnapped.
Yes. Yeah? That's okay. Exactly correct.
Okay. Before he got kidnapped, they are testing evidence from this scene that we saw just previously of the two women tied up. The guy Grissom, who we mentioned earlier, he's testing the blood spatter pattern that Dalton doesn't necessarily believe in.
He's got questions about it.
He's testing the blood spatter pattern of that scene. He's got two mannequins positioned much like those two girls that we saw were, and shoots a bullet through the two mannequins. One of them's filled with red paint, one of them's filled with blue paint, and you can see he determines that there was indeed two people at that crime scene,
yes,
and not just one.
Yes.
He goes to talk to his other crime scene investigator friend and tells him, hey, there are two victims for sure. And she says, no, there wasn't. We only found the DNA of one person there. Well, turns out they were twins. So that's why there was only one DNA found, but two blood spatter patterns.
Do twins have the same DNA?
I think so.
The same exact DNA?
I think so.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if two pairs of twins have kids with each other, they're two offset siblings that would be cousins.
Our siblings.
Are siblings. Yeah.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm. It's happened.
Hmm. I don't like that.
I don't want to sit with that information.
I don't like that.
But yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, this whole thing doesn't come into play with the rest of the episode when we were watching it.
Or the second episode.
Yeah. We thought it did when we were watching it. It's just showing the regular happenings at CSI.
Yeah.
They're doing their fun CSI stuff. They're blowing heads up with guns. It looks like a fun place to work. I would like
There's
to do this.
Paint
stuff.
Splattering all over the place. They're shooting guns indoors, not
Who
in a shooting
doesn't
range.
Want to do that. Paint all over the walls. They're having a good time.
But yeah, Grissom's having a great time, and he goes up to his partner, Sarah, another one of the people who worked at the crime scene investigation lab, and they start talking about this evidence, and how there might be, in fact, two people here.
Two heads are better than one.
Spatter patterns are a match. One bullet, two victims.
No. Grissom, that is impossible. I sampled every square inch of that scene, and there was only one DNA type on the bloodstains.
How about that? Our mystery vics are identical twins.
Twins?
Twins? Not cousins.
Well, that's different.
Technically, it's the same.
That was stupid.
Yeah.
Twins? That's different. Technically, it's the same. I'm not talking about DNA, dumbass. I'm talking about what we normally deal with on a day-to-day basis. We normally don't deal with twins. You fucking idiot. You knew exactly what I was saying. Don't crack that shit around me.
Grissom's an asshole.
Two people died. Yeah. The fuck is wrong with you, Grissom?
The CSI and other network shows like this all have a real, like, bad habit, which is kind of fun, depending on if you like that sort of thing, of just, like, really making light of horrible crimes.
Which, when Cotto is watching Grey's Anatomy, the way that the show sells it to you is that the doctors need to do this, because if they, on a day-to-day, like, thing had to deal with the reality of the fact that their people are dying, that they wouldn't be able to do their jobs. So they kind of have to, like, be jokey and
detach from it.
Yeah, exactly.
I will say, in that way, I actually probably could be a CSI. Because I think I would have a hard time. I'd be like, look at this pile of kielbasa. Sir, that's intestines.
No, I know. It's the only way I can detach from my job and do it correctly. Look at the kielbasa!
Polish sausage. Bag this up for evidence.
So, yeah, they determine that the victims are twins. Does it really matter for the rest of the thing?
No.
We're just establishing business as usual. This is what these people do. And we get to see our boy Nick before he gets kidnapped.
Yeah.
It's always our boy.
He's our boy Nick.
Our old new boy Nick. He is in the crime scene investigation locker room.
Yep.
He's there with his buddy Warwick. They're just, you know, just shooting the shit. Warwick, I guess, was on a hot date the night before. He was in front of one of the casinos, like, making out with his girl. And then there was two, like, kind of mob-looking guys that were giving him a hard time while it was happening.
Yeah, yeah. He's just talking about his day in Vegas. These are regular happenings in Vegas. Sometimes you go out on a date with a girl and two mob guys try to harass you, and then you have to threaten to beat him up. They're buddies.
Yeah, when as this was playing, it really felt like this was going to have something to do with what we're going to see.
I was like, oh, this is going to be an episode about the Russian mob.
No. It doesn't have anything to do with that.
No. But it shows that Nick and Warwick are very close friends.
And what this scene does do, because they get the person who assigns them cases, if you're a longtime follower of CSI, you might know who that is, but I don't. So the person who normally gives them cases comes up to them. She's got two cases in either one of her hands, and she says, look, I don't want to pick favorites. One of these is trash duty. The other one's something cool. You guys pick.
Yeah.
Flip a coin, figure it out. So they flip a coin, and Nick ends up getting the quote-unquote shitty one, the boring one, the trash duty one.
The trash pickup. Which turns out the trash was intestines.
Yeah.
It's pretty insane.
And so they flipped a coin, and it's just happened chance that Nick's the one that got kidnapped and not work.
Yep. It could have gone either way. Mm-hmm. In fact, he tells him to keep the coin because it's bad luck. And it is quite bad luck. And then cuts briefly. It just shows Nick in the back of the trunk of a car.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's
looking nervous and scary, sweaty. He's not supposed to be there.
He's not supposed to be there. Well, I guess he is supposed to be there based on
the flip of the coin.
The flip of the coin. He's in the trunk. He's kind of having a bad time. He's waking up and coming to, and then we just see another chloroform rag. Mm-hmm.
He like tries to get out briefly, mm-hmm. but then chloroform rag around his face.
Chloroform rag. He's knocked back out. So we don't know, but he's being transported somewhere. Mm-hmm. He's being taken to another auxiliary location.
A secondary location.
Secondary location.
Love our secondary location.
We love secondary location.
We then see the crime scene, the one that he got pulled from, the one he got kidnapped from. We see the investigation of that crime scene. We've got our best friends in the world.
Oh, are you talking about Gail and Catherine?
Oh, yeah, Gail and Kathy.
I love them.
Gail and Catherine. Dude, Catherine's such a badass. Remember that one time she flew a plane? Season 1, episode 3.
Episode 4.
I'm sorry. She flew the plane. Well, it actually happened at the end of episode 3. And she flew the plane into episode 4.
Right, yeah. I remember that now. Yeah.
No, but they're doing some investigations. Catherine is in the back of a dumpster trying to see.
She is. She's looking for evidence.
Yeah, maybe there's something back there.
She's CSIing.
Dumpster's clean. No apparent blood or body parts.
The dumpster's clean.
The dumpster is entirely clean. There's nothing back here. This is a brand new dumpster straight from the factory floor.
You can eat off this dumpster floor. It's so clean.
In fact, I just did. You want a bite of my Big Mac?
I found some kielbasa.
That's
not kielbasa.
That's dead person.
Looks like kielbasa to me.
I told you could eat off of it. I didn't say it would be good. They turn to their friend David, or not friend, their coworker David, who's there.
Yeah, they could be friends.
Yeah, and you know David's a little bit late, so he feels a little bit bad. So let's hear what David has to say.
Look, I'm really sorry I didn't get here sooner. Maybe if I had,
we're gonna get him back, David.
Gail, Catherine.
That's David.
David's just late. It's the only time we see him.
It's the only time we see him. I have no idea because I haven't seen the rest of Crime Scene Investigation. But does David, is he constantly late to things? Because it's the only time over the course of the two episodes that we see him.
Yeah.
And he only has two lines, and one of them is, I'm sorry I was late.
Yep. He's like, if we could have gotten here, they're like, yeah, we're going to get him back.
No one gives a shit, David. You do this every fucking
God
week.
Damn it, David. So many episodes centered around you just being late.
There's triple homicide last week. You were late to that too, David.
Yeah, you're constantly late.
The robbery of the Wynn. Yeah, you were late to that.
He also just kind of looks like a guy that shows up late.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I'm sorry.
I feel like I kind of have the look of a guy who shows up late.
You do, but you don't show up late.
You didn't.
You 100% you do.
You didn't try and argue that at all.
You look late.
Yeah. I'm already late.
Yeah. You look like you're constantly late, but you're typically on time. And I look like I'd be on time. I'm late a lot.
You're not late.
Every once in a while, I show up late.
I think we're both giving each other more credit. Ben is due. I think we're both a little bit late sometimes.
Everybody's
and I think we sometimes. Both look like we should have been there yesterday. Yeah.
David looks like he should have been there a week ago.
Have him on the podcast, man. He fits right in with us.
Well, I'd have him, but he's just going to show up late.
He's actually on the way right now.
Oh, God,
he's stuck in traffic on the 405.
Sorry I'm late, guys.
Yeah, David, no one gives a shit. We're just worried about this fucking murder, David. David's a total fuck off.
David.
That's the note that I have written down.
It does. It says David is a fuck off.
Their boss Warwick shows up. They get some police dogs onto the scene. They start, you know, tracking the vest. They're trying to see, hey, where did this guy go? Where did the body go? Let's see. Let's find out. Well, the crime scene dogs are pretty much not able to find anything.
No, they sniff his stab vest and they take him to like around the corner in an alleyway, and it's all it is just a dry spot because it had just rained.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big dry spot in the shape of a large vehicle,
which to most people wouldn't be anything of consequence.
No,
but we're here with the crime scene investigation team.
They know what's up.
Yeah, they see a dry spot.
They measure
that
shit.
They see a puddle of kielbasa. They see a perfectly clean dumpster, and they know, hey, man, fucking tune in.
They find a thread that smells like alcohol.
Yeah, turn on to fucking Channel 5, episode 24, man. Turn it on.
Channel 5.
Let's get fucking going. We're the fuck crime scene fucking investigators, man.
Imagine a bunch of CSI guys show up to your wife's murder.
Hey, man, we're here. I guess normally you'd think, hey, dry spot on the ground. So what, man? But we're here. We're going to measure this shit, man. You see that light? See how it's flickering? And that other one, the bulb's broken. You didn't think about that, man. Where's the electricity going, man? Is that bulb out? Or is it that there's no electricity going to that bulb because it's going somewhere else, man?
They're all just high.
Like in your killer's apartment, man.
And they end up finding him. They're really good at what they do.
They are. They have unusual methods, but they always get their guy. I think that they should have just had Catherine smell the vest. And track it down, because she has a super smeller.
She'd do much better than those
way
dogs.
Way better than the dogs. The dogs are like, I don't know, it's his car. Catherine could have chased all the way to the crime scene.
She's a better dog in every aspect.
Yes. Fucking Catherine. I could do this job. I'm telling you.
She can sniff. She can chase.
Yeah.
She could probably bark.
Oh, she could bark.
I feel bad.
Well, season 5, episode 2.
Oh, yeah, where she barks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. CSI fans are going to be so mad at this episode.
She takes that potion and becomes a dog.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like season 8, episode 3.
I haven't gotten that far yet. No
okay.
Spoilers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry.
I haven't gotten past season 6.
Yeah, okay. When she finally gets turned back into a human. Because she's still suffering.
Hey. I haven't seen it.
So, yeah, there's a dry spot on the ground. Someone measures the dry spot on the ground. They think about it a little bit. They're like, well, something must have been here, something very large. It must be a car.
Sometimes the crime scene investigations are things that I definitely could do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that part I could do. I could be like... car was here.
Would you have the thought to be like, oh, this can be measured and compared with our database?
No, probably not. But that's what they do.
That's what they do, because they go back to the CSI lab and they compare that with a database of other vehicles. And Warwick, he was the guy who kind of measured the thing on the ground. He is able to compare the dimensions and finds a short list of possible vehicles that it could have been.
Yeah, and they see a Subaru.
They go on the security footage.
They go to the security footage. They see a Suburban cruise by, and they're like, "Oh, maybe it's that one." And then he sees a white Ford Expedition, and he's like, "I don't know why, but that's the one."
Yeah,
and it turns out that is the one. And also another note: they take the intestines and they test the intestines. Mm-hmm. They are not human intestines.
No,
they are kielbasa. No, they're dog intestines.
They're dog intestines.
Which is really sad. I don't know what poor it dog. Is about TV shows. I could watch people get murdered all day long.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you hurt a dog, I'm pissed.
Yeah.
And they're a worse person in my mind than if you actually...
whole John Wick.
Yeah.
That's John Wick.
It is John Wick in a nutshell. It's don't kill my dog.
Yeah. Or I'm going to come after you.
Yes.
They're also looking through all the evidence that they gathered on the crime scene. There's no fingerprints on anything. They're talking about how the styrofoam cup is weird. They start looking into Nick's background. Nick's the cop who got kidnapped. And seeing maybe is there anything that's happened recently? Anybody he's pissed off that might want to go after him?
They find out that he had a stalker, so that's their top suspect, is like maybe it's his former stalker. They're just kind of throwing spaghetti at the wall right now.
They're trying this as good as they can. We then cut back to Nick, and he gets pulled out of the back of the car. He gets the zip ties that are around his wrists, they get clipped, and then he gets thrown into this like sort of acrylic coffin.
It's like a plexiglass coffin.
It's in the ground. It's halfway buried, and they throw him into it. The cover's still open. They throw him into it. They give him some glow sticks, a voice recorder. They put a gun in there. They close the box, and they start burying Nick underground while he's still alive.
Yes, and this is one of the moments where this is directed and written by Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, it's so Tino.
He is so Tino. He loves putting people in boxes and burying them alive.
Yeah.
If you've seen Kill Bill, we won't spoil it, but there is a very famous buried alive scene in Kill Bill.
It's almost like it's like kind of his thing.
He kind of likes it. I think he might be into it.
I don't want to king shame anyone, but it is kind of weird.
Yeah, no. he has some... He famously has a foot fetish.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think among his other fetishes, burying people alive, it does something for old Tino.
Old Papa Tino.
Old Papa Tino.
I want Uncle Tino to come over.
No, son.
He always brings the blood spatter.
I know he does, son.
He can. And he puts it on the walls, but it's not real science, or at least that's what Dalton says.
That's right. It's pseudoscience, son. He agrees with me.
You're so smart, Dad.
It's me.
That's what Dalton said, even though I'm Dalton.
Oh, you're the kid's Dalton.
Yes.
It's very confusing.
I'm Dalton, my dad's Dalton, and Quentin Tarantino can be Dalton too.
Oh no,
everyone's Dalton. Oh boy.
Mickey Mouse is back. Anyway, back to CSI.
Yeah, the crime scene investigation team is at their crime scene investigation lab. And after their crime scene investigations, they give each other a little bit of a State of the Union address. They update each other on everything that they've found.
The expedition truck left the area around 11:15. Definitely in a hurry. Took a right off of Koval onto Tropicana. Crossed Las Vegas Boulevard into 215 East, and then it drove off the grid.
At least we have a general direction.
Great. So Nick could be anywhere from Green Valley to Seven Hills to Arizona.
Assuming he was in that truck.
Well, according to Hodges, the white fibers on Nick's vest were cotton with traces of ether.
Which she said smelled like alcohol.
Mm-hmm. I guess ether might smell a little bit like alcohol, or if you don't know the difference between the two, maybe it smelled like alcohol.
I feel like whatever it is, if you smell it too much, you get real sleepy. So, don't smell it too much.
No. Yeah, they kind of compile all their data. They have a possible lead with this whole vehicle thing. They find out that the cotton was covered in ether. They find out that his stalker is still behind bars, so it's
probably
no
wasn't
way
him.
Probably wasn't the stalker. They confirm there's no DNA, there's no prints on any of the evidence, and they kind of think about it for a moment. They're like, well, if it's not his stalker, like, how would they know that he was going to be the one getting called to the scene?
Because they flipped that coin.
Uh-huh. So, like, if it was just, like, left up to chance, then maybe whoever is committing this crime didn't actually care about Nick. Maybe it's nothing personal with Nick.
No,
you know?
It's possibly more that they just wanted to grab somebody that works for the CSI.
While they're having this, kind of rundown with each other about the evidence that they find, there's a commotion at the front of the criminal investigation, the center for crime scene.
The center for crime scene investigation.
The center for crime scene investigation. The precinct, if you will.
Oh.
Yeah, my mother taught me that word. Yeah, we were, on one of our recent episodes, I said I was struggling to find the word for a police station, and, in the middle of last week, she sent me a text, and it was just one word, and it said precinct.
Which I'm really surprised you knew what she was referring
to. I knew exactly what she meant, because most of the time, and this is just going to sound bad, that we're in communication with each other, it's about the podcast.
Oh.
So when she responded precinct, I was like, oh, I know exactly what she's talking about, and thank you.
Happy Mother's Day. Have you seen the last episode of Sword of Sword? Because I'm withholding my gift and card until you recap the entire episode.
You recap the recap that we did. There's a commotion at the front of the precinct.
A commotion.
They all rush out of their CSI meeting room. And there's a man who is like entering the building, and as they're running in, he is being detained. He's being arrested for something.
Yes.
I guess he has some kind of package with him. We don't know much about anything right now, but maybe the show will tell us.
Maybe.
Guy comes in here with a package with no return address.
You're violating my rights. I want a lawyer.
Shut up.
The way the guy was pawing that envelope, I figured I better get it away from him before he wipes off all the trace.
What trace?
Oh, it's about Nick.
He's so flustered. It's funny because it's like they get a package delivered. He's like, oh, I got it away from him before he wipes off all the trace. And then one of the fellow CSI guys is like, what trace? This is your job.
Yeah.
Like, you know what the trace is. Like, it's just a strange thing that, like, it's a thing that happens a lot in also these network shows where they have conversations with each other about their job so that the audience knows.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what it is.
Yeah.
Even though they deal with it every single day.
Yeah. They'll
like, get a whole, like, almost paragraph of information and then split it up one by one and deliver the information one at a time.
Yeah, they'll, like, talk to each other about it. They're like, oh, we took the GPS coordinates of this so that we could trace him down to this. The guy talking knows all of
it. He was sitting there at the computer with you doing the same thing with you.
He did it.
He did it.
Who are you talking to? it bothers me, and it doesn't happen in like Netflix and HBO shows.
Yeah, it might, but we're not. It doesn't happen as frequently, perhaps,
as network,
because they sure as hell happen frequently, and you know, sort of CSI type.
it's a problem with network television. It's dated,
but. I guess the package that this guy had, the reason why they're arresting him is because the package was addressed to none other than Nick Stokes.
Yeah.
At the Crime Scene Investigation Laboratory. So Grissom takes the package. He goes into his little secondary location.
He says, I'll do this. Because I think they think that there might be a body part in it.
A body part. A thumb. Anthrax. A bomb. Yeah. They have no clue.
You know, I didn't even consider that it could be like anthrax in it. My first thought is there's a body part in it to prove, like, we have your buddy.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty dark of me.
Well, I mean, Grissom doesn't really... Because when he goes to look at it, he doesn't put on a mask or gloves or anything. He kind of just rips the fucking thing open under, like, a huge light.
And 3 seconds ago, he didn't know what trace meant. He probably should get retrained for his job.
Yeah, I don't think Grissom's very good at what he does.
Inside the envelope is there is a tape recorder and a USB thumb drive.
Yeah, very spooky, very mysterious.
Very spooky, mysterious.
We see a brief kind of cutaway here. It's Nick Stokes. He is waking up in the coffin, and he's freaking out.
Yeah, he doesn't know he's in the coffin, and when he wakes up, he immediately tries to sit up and hits his head on the top of it.
Yeah.
Which must be so startling.
Oh, my God. The way that they, like, depict this guy... He's buried alive. The way that they do it, it's pretty good because, I mean, the first thing that he does when he wakes up down there is kind of just starts thrashing around and stuff, which is totally what I do. I mean, his whole decline, as we'll follow it throughout these two episodes, it's like, oh man, this guy's really going through it, you know?
Yeah, he wakes up in this coffin, he finds his glow sticks, he's kind of seeing the edges of the coffin, and... Yeah, I don't know what would run through my mind at that point, but I'd be pretty freaked out.
He pulls out an audio recorder, the one that was placed in the coffin with him. We didn't know really what the audio recorder was there for. I had thought perhaps it was so that he could record his final goodbyes, but there's actually a message on that recorder.
Hi, CSI guy. You're wondering why you're here? Because you followed the evidence. Because that's what CSIs do. So breathe quick, breathe slow. Put your gun in your mouth and pull the trigger. Any way you like. You're gonna die here.
He sounds like Columbo.
Pretty crazy.
He does. Let's just get that out of the way. He sounds like Columbo.
Hey there. Looks like you're buried underground.
Breathe quick, breathe slow. It doesn't matter. You're going to die.
You know, the thing about breathing is it's just taking oxygen in. Well, it turns out the body is made of 80% water. Have you ever thought about how those two hydrogens for every one oxygen that's in the body? You see, I can perform electrolysis, hydrolysis, if you will, within my own body. I can extract the oxygen ions, use the hydrogen as gas, of course. I can fuel a whole city for weeks.
Columbo's about an alternative power source.
I'm an alternative power source, and if you were to take me to Mars, I could be used not only to terraform Mars, but also to produce an atmosphere that is breathable.
It's incredible.
I get around a lot. Let's just say that.
In a very special episode of Columbo, it's just him terraforming Mars.
Now that I'm done terraforming Mars, quick question. What happened to that guy who you buried underground? I know it was you. Because he's still Columbo. He still has to get to the point.
I feel like Columbo could have figured this out a lot quicker than CSI.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get into some of the things that Columbo would have done differently, but it would have just gone a lot better.
We then cut back to our team at the CSI investigation lab. They're also looking at some audio recordings.
It's the audio tape that was in the envelope.
Mm-hmm.
And they're playing it for the group. It's got a song on it.
So it's taunting them.
It's taunting them. The song is called Outside Chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to find me.
You don't stand a chance. I'm surprised you found me in the first place. Good fucking luck getting any closer because I'm Columbo.
they end up deciding to plug the USB drive into the computer, which I don't know. I would have started with the USB drive. I feel like there's more on the USB drive than the tape. They plug it and they find a link to a website. Mm-hmm. They pull up the website and there's text that pops up on the screen that is demanding $1 million within 12 hours. Otherwise, their friend is going to die.
And then it says, but for now, you can just watch.
Yes. So they click that and then they see the live stream of Nick inside the coffin. Every time they click the little button, the link to click watch, lights turn on inside the coffin and Nick is just there freaking out. They don't know if it's live footage. They're not exactly sure at this point, but it does cut to Nick in the coffin and the lights turn on and he's like, what the fuck is going on?
He has no idea that there's a camera. He's just sitting there and the lights are turning on and turning off randomly.
Yes.
But the people back at the crime scene investigation lab, they're like, oh shit, pretty sure this is a live feed to Nick.
Yeah.
We know he's still alive. Maybe we can still do something to save him.
Yes.
So they start running some numbers, you know? Grissom pulls out his little Grissom calculator.
Just a calculator.
Well, because you know Grissom's always calculating. That's what Grissom likes to do.
He does like to do that.
You know, what is 1 + 2 equal? It's Grissom.
it's Grissom.
In the back of a van with a calculator, okay? He's doing the math. He's looking at it. He's like, all right, this box is roughly what? I don't know.
The space in that box looks like 2 by 2 by 6, which would be 24 cubic feet. That would hold approximately 600 liters of air. If you figure half a liter per breath, slow breathing, maybe 12 breaths per minute. Panic breathing would be, twice that much? Well, if the math is right, he's got about an hour and 15 minutes of air left in that box.
But if they're going to keep him alive for 12 hours, it must mean that he's got an additional air supply.
Okay, more information.
More information. We had both pointed out, you pointed out specifically, that they're accounting for the size of his body in the coffin.
Yeah, because he looks at the coffin. He gets the rough volume of that coffin.
24 cubic feet.
And then calculates how much air would take up that space and whether or not a person would be able to breathe that. Well, his body's taking about half the space in there.
Yeah.
And we don't ever hear him and subtract his mass or volume. You know, I'm not a fucking mathematician. I'm not Grissom. You know, I don't have my Grissom calculator. But I do know that his body would take up a certain amount of space. And based on his calculations, it didn't sound like he included that space.
This is the supernova math all over again.
Mm-hmm.
There's a flaw in the math.
Oh.
And it sends everybody into a panic.
But instead of everyone's gonna live, it's this guy's already dead.
Yes. But they calculated that inside he has limited oxygen. They speculate that, well, if we have 12, if he has an hour and a half or something of oxygen, but we have 12 hours to pay the ransom, he must have some sort of external oxygen supply. Mm-hmm.
So then we cut to the interrogation room at the crime scene investigation lab. They are interrogating the guy who dropped off the package.
This poor man.
Yeah, that was addressed to Nick. Well, you say poor man, but look, we're just watching this as we go.
Yes.
All we know so far is that this guy is in cahoots with the fucking guy who kidnapped our guy, Nick.
I didn't know why they assumed that.
Because he dropped off a package for that guy.
He's just dropping off a package. Do I attack every FedEx guy because they're dropping off ransom packages?
No, but you interrogate him. You ask him where he got that package from.
That's true.
Is he in cahoots? What's up with the hoots, man?
I love the word cahoots.
Yeah, I know you did. I saw you smile when I said it. I said, what's up with the hoots, man?
What's up with the hoots? Cahoots. We're in cahoots.
I'm in cahoots. Sometimes I'm out of cahoots, but right now I'm in cahoots. They're interrogating the guy who dropped off the package. They're concerned, perhaps, he may or may not be in cahoots. So they find out that this guy picked up the package from some random house for $100. He saw some kind of listing online or got a text from his friend. It doesn't fucking matter.
He never actually talks to anybody. He just finds the package with $100 taped to it and the address to deliver it to. He doesn't actually speak to any person individually.
Yeah. And the cops are like, all right, sweet. Sick 'em. Let's sick our bad boys over there and let's get our bad boys to take those bad boys down.
they decide to raid the house that it came from.
It's a bogus lead. It doesn't go anywhere. There's a guy who's sleeping in there.
Who doesn't wake up when they bust into his house screaming CSI.
No, I mean, they say that he's drunk, but Jesus Christ, how drunk are you?
They also go out of their way to call him fat. Multiple times.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we just found some fat guy.
Yeah, like, what the fuck, CSI? Like, why body shame
the guy? Don't body shame the drug mule.
Yeah, you already busted down an innocent man's house.
Like, I would be so sad if I'm just sitting there in my house. I'm like, oh, it's a Sunday, I don't have work. Like, I'm going to drink, I'm going to smoke.
CSI!
And then I'm going to take a nap, and I wake up to that. CSI! Oh, looks like it's not him, it's just another fatty. I'd be fucking pissed, man.
Yeah, I'd be bummed out.
And then while they're in the room with me, one of them turns away and gets on the phone with their supervisor. It's like, yeah, we're here. We weren't able to find him. All we were able to find is just this fat fuck. I would be like, no,
that
dude,
actually happened.
Get the fuck out of my house.
It happens in this episode.
Get
the guy's there
here.
And he calls him and he says, you're just some fat ass here. He was sleeping.
So rude.
It's really fucked up. If he had done something, then go ahead and call him.
Just wait to do, or just do it outside.
Yeah, take a step outside.
Go down the block and call me a fat ass. Don't do it while you're in my fucking house.
You're just like, what the fuck?
Breaking down my door.
I could sue you guys. Now I'm thinking about it.
And it wouldn't look good for you if I had a recording of you calling me a fatty.
Well, so that all goes down. It's a bogus lead. The address is just some random pickup location. It has nothing to do with the case. And then we cut back to the crime scene laboratory, the CSI labs. There's a speech being done from I guess the head of CSI, and he's telling the staff
they're
the
all
bad
the
news.
Fucking head of CSI. They're all Grissom's the head of CSI. I don't fucking
they're
know.
They're all the head of the CSI, but he's breaking some bad news to the staff about their buddy Nick.
Everybody, I have some bad news. A little while ago, I spoke with the mayor directly. The city of Las Vegas is not going to finance a ransom. It's against department policy to negotiate with terrorists. No exceptions.
The way he did that, I just imagine like the group of them. He's like, got some bad news. The city of Las Vegas doesn't negotiate with terrorists. And they all go, oh, man. Oh, shoot.
It's against department policy.
Looks like we'll have to try something else.
I always wonder when they say we don't negotiate with terrorists. If you just give terrorists what they want immediately, first they get offer, you know, like, I want $1 million.
Oh, you're not negotiating.
You're not negotiating.
Yeah.
You're just giving them
you're
what they
want. You're just paying terrorists. They never say.
They don't say don't pay terrorists.
Yeah. They say, always say don't negotiate with terrorists. Give them their asking price always.
It's no lowballers. I know.
Don't lowball terrorists. How many times do we have to tell you?
Got the CSI guy in a hole in a box. I know what I got. No lowball.
Yeah, no lowball.
Don't negotiate with
And in him. Fact, you're not allowed to anyway. I know your protocols.
Give me what I want. I don't know. It's just a thought I had while I was watching this.
I just imagine you on like Facebook Marketplace or something. Some guy's trying to sell something and like you're trying to ask for a lower price and he's like, sorry, I don't negotiate with terrorists. Asking price only.
That would be a horrible but also probably pretty effective way.
Yeah, well, with your complexion.
Yeah.
But if you were a Middle Eastern man and he responded, no, I don't negotiate with terrorists.
That'd be pretty wild.
That'd be pretty fucking wild. It would be fucked up. It'd be really fucked up. It'd be a little bit funny, but it'd be really fucked. It'd be mostly fucked up, man. It'd be this much fucked up.
This much funny.
This much. His fingers are like touching. If you're not watching the video, it's
not
like,
funny.
It's not funny.
Don't say that shit.
No, I didn't. You did.
Anyway, they're trying to figure out what the fuck to do. They don't negotiate with terrorists. Who does these days? Stokes' parents, Nick Stokes. Nick Stogie's parents show up.
They're concerned.
They're ready to get their fucking son back. It seems like everybody's parents in this show have money.
Yeah.
If you work at the CSI, it's because of nepotism.
Yes.
They have cash. They've sold half their shit. They've got another half their shit that they're going to sell.
They got 20 grand in an envelope, but they're saying our bank's going to wire another 100 grand.
They say
we're
going to
sell our ranch. Yeah, we're going to sell our farm, our ranch. That'll, we can get you $1 million by the end of the fucking day.
Yeah.
But you got to hold this off a little bit longer. I know it's 12 hours, but maybe if you give them the 20 grand, it'll be like a good omen, and maybe they'll accept that and hold off.
The CSI people are like, we're not doing that.
And I said, we're not doing that. We don't think it would work. Which is, I mean, I would try it. At least give it a go. I mean, these people are willing to throw up the money, like, for their son. Like,
I mean, that would be technically negotiating with terrorists.
Yeah. Here's 20 grand now, and we'll get more later.
It's up front. Once the work is done, then we give you the other half.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not negotiating.
No.
You're still getting full asking price.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's fine.
There's just stipulations. There's terms to the contract, you know?
Yeah, you can
make contracts with terrorists, but you can't negotiate.
Don't negotiate.
If they don't like the contract that you presented, they're not allowed to. It's a two-way street. They're not allowed to negotiate either. Hey, you're not allowed to do that. You know it, okay?
No negotiating with terrorists.
Look, this is your asking price. Yes. If you look down on the contract, you'll see some of the terms are that you have to give this money back next week. But that's still your ask. I'm not negotiating, okay? This is contractual.
Go on to payment plans with terrorists.
That's You're allowed fine. To do that.
You're fine.
You can put terrorists on layaway.
Yeah. I've heard that. That's legal.
That's how you got jackets back in the 60s. That's how our parents did it, and that's how we'll do it, goddammit.
That's how we'll do it. Put your kidnapped partner on layaway, and you make payments. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they're ready to sell their farm. They're ready to sacrifice everything. They want their son back, Stokes' parents. Well, the cops aren't willing to do that, and they're like, well, we just really appreciate you coming down to the station and showing your support.
Yeah, and they're like, fuck you, it's not about support, we're trying to get our kid.
I literally came down here with an envelope of $20,000, and you think I'm here for support. No, you're not keeping that envelope, this is not my show of support.
She starts pulling it toward her. No.
Thank you so much for your support. He pulls the envelope towards him. This is not for fucking support, this is to buy my son's life back. I'm here to negotiate with terrorists. And the cop guys are like, look, we're not even willing to do that. Like, we need to get more information. And the parents break down a little bit. They're like, well, how do you even know if he's still alive? Like, it's our son. How do you know if he's still alive? Well, the cops end up showing the parents the video footage.
Yeah, the live stream.
Hey, guys, it's me, Bradley B23, down here in the coffin. It's day two. It's looking pretty slim and slick for me. Luckily, I got these sick-ass glow sticks and this voice recorder. Tune in to live for more updates.
Make sure you ring that bell. Hit subscribe.
Exactly.
I'm going to be in this coffin all week.
Exactly. Hey, Mom and Dad. Thanks so much for tuning in to the stream. Is that on Jerry? Totally cool. Thanks so much.
We read the comments in the stream. Do I have enough glow sticks to make it the whole time?
Well, it looks like we're gonna find out.
Hit subscribe
to find out how many. I donate 120 stars and I'll get another glow stick. Donate 300 and I get one taken away.
I would watch that.
I would watch the shit out of that.
Just some guy in a cough.
Someone would have to tell me before, though, that he's not going to die for reals. That he's not in any actual physical danger.
I would only watch it if he was actually in physical danger. But that's the difference between
it makes it not fun anymore. If he's actually going
to
die.
If Nick wants to do it.
Then it becomes a weird, illegal, like, backroom, red room, creepy thing that billionaires do.
Millions of dollars putting himself in situations.
But because he's a magician, because we all acknowledge that he's not actually going to die.
He could die.
If you put a magician in that box, I don't care. Put any magician in that box. Put Chris Angel in there, even if it's not part of a trick. If you put a magician in there, I'm okay with it.
Real quick sidebar. I was working an event the other day, and I was at a house party, and David Blaine was there, and he was at the house party.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a person working the event that was running, like, the food and, like, the whole thing.
Did he stick the thing in his arm?
I don't know what he was doing. I walked by him a couple times. I was really into it. I, full disclosure, don't really like David Blaine. I think he's kind of a problem. But I hear a commotion in the kitchen, and a server comes running out of the kitchen and goes, David Blaine's eating a glass!
He's eating one of the ones.
He was eating a glass that the caterers brought. It was insane.
That's really fucking funny.
David Blaine's an animal.
Because you only get one chance to ever say that in your life.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
And say it like that, too. David Blaine's eating a glass!
He was done with panic, like as if he was in the kitchen just eating all the dishware. Like, you couldn't stop him. Like, that's my grandmother's china.
Well, and that's the thing is, you put David Blaine in this coffin, he starts eating his way out. He's eating plexiglass.
Yeah, you could eat your way out of this coffin. David Blaine would be fine.
Hopefully.
No, no.
You think it's fun to just watch people in coffins die.
Yeah, I mean, I get a little...
You said you heard it here, folks. Dalton wants to see people die in coffins.
I like the stakes of possible death. I don't want him to die. I want him to get out of the coffin. But if I'm going to watch a live stream of a guy in a coffin, I kind of want there to be actual real-life consequences.
But without it being, like, illegal and weird? Because the only thing that I think about is, like, there are probably, like, a bunch of billionaires out there who've paid some guy to kidnap someone and put them in a coffin under the ground.
The way we made the character was that he seemed really excited.
Okay. So it's consensual.
Yeah, he's doing it to himself.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
If someone put him in the coffin, I'm not going to watch that. I'm not an animal.
Well, it sounded like you would.
I wouldn't talk about it.
What do you think I'm going to do after this, man?
What do you think my other side gig is? Anyway, so... We end up cutting to a lounge in old Las Vegas.
Yeah. It just feels like so much fun.
It does. Actually, while we were watching
this scene. Leopard print everywhere.
Yeah, and there's like four old people, and I just know that this is going to be us someday.
I hope so.
In the back of a comedy club, just shooting the shit. And yeah, there's four people there. One of them is an actor. He's very famous. He does impressions. I don't know his name off the top of my head, but I do know that he died 2 days before this episode came out.
And not like... In the crime scene investigation world. No,
in
like
real life.
This actor passed away.
He's like 90 years old, so it was natural causes. It's okay. It wasn't a coffin situation.
If this is his last role, he did a damn good job, and I'm happy he did it.
He does. You know? They're shooting the shit about the old days, talking, and they're doing impressions of Jack Lemmon and Jack Nicholson, all the Jacks. The
early 70s. Oh. Gamblers were kings.
Yeah, not the same anymore.
Showgirls were showgirls. Yeah, you got it? Everybody knew your name in those days.
You could dress up and drag, huh?
Me dress up and drag? Who do you think you're talking to? Jack Lemmon?
Jack Lemmon?
That's good.
Anyway, we had a good time in those days, you know. You could walk down the streets in this town 15, 20 years ago with $50,000 staked on the top of your head in singles.
Oh.
And nobody would bother you except this guy.
They're just ribbing each other. They're having a good time.
You'll go walk down the street with a stack of $50,000 and no one would bother you.
In singles.
They would be impressed. How are you doing that? How are you walking around with $50,000 in singles stacked in your head? Doesn't that hurt? Isn't that a little bit heavy? But they won't bother you.
They wouldn't bother you. It just seems like a good time. I do want to hang out with these people.
$50,000 in singles would be like $1 million in $20 bills. No. Would be like $100,000 in $20 bills. No. Would be like
Where's Grissom, Kelsey?
Would be like $10,000 in $20 bills.
Yeah.
No. 50,000 would be like 100,000. 120. It's a lot of fucking money, okay?
It's a lot of money.
It's heavy.
It would be very heavy.
My math, it's not mathing. Don't bother me.
You don't have Grissom's calculator.
No.
It's okay. We're not here to do math.
But you know what we are here for? Is we're here to get our boy back.
We are here to go to
because
your boy back.
Because Catherine comes in. She's one of our favorite crime scene investigators. She's been doing a lot up to this point.
She has.
We've mentioned everything that she's been doing.
Everything.
She's so important. We love her. Turns out that one of these guys is her pops.
One of these guys is her dad. He is a casino mogul. He's very, very wealthy. And she walks up to him and is asking for a loan. He's hesitant. He doesn't want to give the loan. And she's saying, kind of, like, without outright saying it, saying, you were accused of crimes. You should give us this money as, like, maybe a way to get some good press. And he's just like, I don't need good press. I don't care about good press. Ask me as my daughter. Don't ask me as a CSI crime scene investigator. So he ends up giving her $1 million in a beautiful brown duffel bag.
It cuts away from that when he asks, ask me as my daughter. Cuts on that line, cuts back to the crime scene investigation lab, and you see her walk in with the beautiful brown duffel bag that Dalton's in love with.
I love this duffel bag. It's a really nice duffel
bag. Well, hey, we'll get you one.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, don't worry. Hey. Take a couple deep breaths, okay? We'll get you one, okay? I'll find the exact prop that they used. We'll get it sent. We'll get it overnighted.
No.
You ever get something overnighted?
I have.
Okay.
But not a brown duffel bag.
Well, that's what's going to happen.
Just no pleather shit.
Oh, it's not going to be pleather.
I want a nice leather.
It's going to be human skin.
All right, have we almost done it? Does it look like that?
Your real colors are coming out today.
Yeah, I'm okay with all this.
I
want to
see people underground, and I want a real human skin duffel bag.
And I want to eat intestines if it looks like kielbasa.
Yeah, Catherine shows up. She's got a big bag of cash. She goes to old boy Grissom, our buddy with the calculator, and she's like, look, I got this cash. Grissom's like, what the fuck? Everybody knows that your dad is, you know, this huge...
It's like a crime mogul.
Crime mogul, but passing off as a casino boss. But like, it wouldn't look good if we received this money. Well, I guess the only way that they can move forward is if they pretend like this money was a donation to the CSI department, and if she's not connected to it at all.
Yeah, he specifically says, I'll drop the money off. You can't be connected to this at all. It would look like your dad's bribing our offices. Mm-hmm. You can't do this.
No.
So he decides to take this bag of cash and to go to this address that was on, where did the address come from?
Wherever the fuck we wanted it to come from.
Something happens and full disclosure, I don't remember.
No, but they get an address.
There's an address for a place.
What does happen that I do know is truthful is that they acquire the address to drop off the money.
They do acquire
how the acquiring.
Oh, that's what it is. I actually do remember. I do remember. You jogged my memory. They reply to the USB thumb drive link,
uh-huh,
and they say, we have the money. And he says, bring it in 20 minutes to this address. If you don't get here in 20 minutes, don't bother.
Yeah.
That's how they get the address.
So Grissom by himself shows up to the address.
Yeah.
It's an abandoned warehouse. He's nervous. It's in the middle of nowhere. He starts to go inside. He has his bag of cash with him. He hears a voice.
Mm-hmm.
Go into the back room.
Yeah.
It's not a disembodied voice. It's not connected to a speaker. There's someone calling him in from the back room.
There's a human being in there.
Mm-hmm. He steps into the back room, and the guy that he's here to see, the guy who kidnapped his partner, is sitting face to face with him.
Watching the live stream.
Mm-hmm.
Almost sounds like you came alone.
I've got your money.
Put it down. Slide it over.
That reverb is incredible.
It sounds great. Also, a good kick. Yeah, he got that bag pretty far.
I'm sorry. He kicked the bag over to him, and the bad guy has this little flashlight, and he turns on the flashlight and points it at the bag. It just like, looked really fucking funny.
That's a really nice bag.
Is that human? So the bad guy gets the bag. Grissom kicks it over. Bad guy starts looking in the bag. He sees all the money's there. He's like, all right, this checks out. It's really weird that you'd bring this to me. Like, yeah. I wasn't actually expecting this.
He actually says, I thought you guys didn't negotiate with Terrence.
Yeah, which he's like, no, we didn't negotiate. This is asking price.
This is $1 million plus a nice bag.
Yeah, which is, that's worth something.
At least another $200.
No. And the bad guy, there's something else going on here. It's not just about the money.
No.
He seems like he's trying to fuck with Grissom. He's very, like, into the psyche, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So he's asking him. He's like, why would you do this? Why would you come here? Why would you give me the money? Like, how do you even feel about this guy, Nick Stokes? Like, what's your relationship to him, you know?
Are you too close?
That's none of your business.
What does Nick Stokes mean to you? How do you feel when you see him in that coffin? Does your soul die every time you push that button? How do you feel knowing that there's nothing you can do to get him out of that hell?
The way he fucking hit the pitch on that line, how do you feel knowing there's nothing you can do to get him out of there? Just the way he did, it was like music, the way he did that.
It's very good.
So fucking creepy.
To get him out of that hell.
Yeah. I you know, people talk shit about these, like, you know, kind of serialized procedural, like, dramas, crime dramas and hospital shows and stuff. I would love to be on one of these shows.
I bet you they pay really well.
Yeah. And then you have regular work. You're mm-hmm. there all the time. You get to do fun things in fun situations.
You might play a body one week, a killer the next week. Mm-hmm. It's
exactly.
Fun.
It's all good times.
It's all good times.
But it's not good times here in the middle, or actually at the end of this episode. This is
pretty much how it's going to end, except for one small thing.
A very small detail.
Very, very, very teeny of a detail.
Yeah.
As he's questioning, as the killer... Not killer, because he hasn't killed anybody yet. as the murderer, as the kidnapper is questioning Grissom about his relationship, he says something along the lines of, it was never about the money in the first place. Yep. I don't care about this money. And he opens up his coat. There's plastic explosives attached to his schlong. They're around his waist. They're around his waist. They're He's wearing a belt of plastic explosives.
He's fully strapped up, and he says, I'd take a step back if I were you. The entire cabin explodes. The money explodes. Grissom's thrown backward. And that's how this episode ends. It wasn't about the money. This man doesn't give a shit about the money. He seems to have a vendetta against somebody. We don't really know, but he's got some sort of personal stake in this.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't even care about his own life.
He doesn't care about his own life. In fact, this is like his first kill.
Yeah.
Himself.
Yeah. That's why I said
yeah.
The murderer, he hasn't murdered anybody yet.
Yes.
Because he ends up killing
He murders himself. So, that is the end of episode one.
And if that felt even the slightest bit anticlimactic to you, that's because that's not the end.
It's not the end. Because I will tell you that this episode actually came out, like the second episode aired the same night.
Oh, really?
You didn't have to wait a week for the next
episode. Wow, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. I was looking it up. And yeah, no, they both aired on May 19th.
Which is great news for our listeners, because we will not be doing that.
No, we're going to wait a week.
We're going to be releasing these this next episode over the course of a week. Like, I don't know. I really like doing the CSI thing. Maybe like the week after we could do more or something like that. I don't know. We'll figure it out. I promise you that we'll have it all, we'll hunker down on it, and we will know by next week here on Sorta Cinema.
Grissom. I have nothing to say about it.
Listen to part two!
Listen to part two.
This has been a Shockfish Media production. If you like the show, please leave a rating and share the podcast with a friend. It really helps us out. For more Sorta Cinema, including clips from the movies, give us a follow on social media @SortaCinema. See you next week.